In 1205, Spanish Bishop Diego of Osma and his longtime traveling companion Dominic de Guzman traveled to Rome to meet with Pope Innocent III. In their audience with the Pope, they made a simple request: allow us to start an itinerant fellowship of clerics to help spread the word of Jesus to the poor and the destitute. Being good churchmen, they knew the appropriate next thing to say: it won't cost you a thing. We will even be glad to beg for our daily bread. The Pope refused. Though the notion of a fraternity of priests called to preach across diocesan borders was not new, Pope Innocent himself had commissioned several such groups from the various monasteries and cathedrals of Spain and of France. Though this idea was not new, the notion that the group would beg seemed to be a step too far. It reminded the Pope perhaps of a group of French radicals, the followers of Peter Waldo, who used such apostolic poverty to publicly shame the church and to undermine its authority. Clerical poverty was strictly forbidden at the beginning of the 13th century, and no exception would be made for Dominic and Diego. Now, where we might see a level of heroic commitment to the model of service and of leadership that Jesus offered in these preachers' willingness to go into the world as itinerant beggars, the established church only saw a certain brand of unwanted extravagance. It is Christ-like enough, the Pope seemed to say, for you to go out and to serve all, wandering around to find those most in need of grace. But be careful not to add anything extraneous and potentially scandalous. Focus on the core of the matter. Don't be extra. Little did the Pope know that extra was the whole point. An unbelieving number of print pages and blog posts have been dedicated in recent years to the notion of extra. Questions like, who is extra? Who is not? Is extra a fad, or is it a legitimate part of our culture? How extra do you have to truly be extra? Now, I can see from the looks on your face that I might not be making a ton of sense, so please allow me to explain. According to the online Urban Dictionary, extra is a state of being defined by a willingness to go over the top for absolutely no reason at all. It is a state of completely unnecessary extravagance and the desire to show same to one's peers. In most cases, this description is pejorative. Though in a 2018 Medium article, mental health counselor Jaclyn Jackson wonders whether or not being extra is really such a bad thing at all. She finds in a broad cross-section of unabashedly extra people a pattern of authenticity, courage, and meaning-making that suggests that such extraness is actually a powerful gift to humanity. Sometimes being extra is the whole point. In his book, The Four Loves, sainted Anglican author and theologian C.S. Lewis muses about the nature of philia, that is, the love of one friend to another. And Lewis says the following: friendship is unnecessary, as is philosophy, art, the universe itself, for God had no reason to create. Friendship has no survival value, but rather brings value to survival. God did not need to create the universe or any of the best things in it. However, in the divine mercy, God saw fit not only to provide for our being and our survival, but also to ensure that this life was filled with those extra things that we would later learn to say make life worth living. Even God, it seems, whether in creation itself or in the crowning of life with good things and relationships and the potential for salvation, saw the value in the extra. In creation, in life, God decrees, extra is important. Extra is essential. Extra is the whole point. For you see, the whole notion of extra is built into the very nature of God Himself. God decrees the value of extra because God Himself is extra. Over the top. Extravagant. Extraordinary to the core. And we see that most clearly, perhaps, on this Trinity Sunday. According to many standards of religious development, belief in God alone, the one that we might call creator or father, etc., belief in a sole and single God should be sufficient. Many contemporary world religions hold to such a strict monotheism. Shoot, Judaism and Islam both even take the point of view and apply it to the same God that we call Father. Moreover, we could form an equally valid religion and using a strict monotheistic posture towards any part of the Trinity, towards Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Some less than Orthodox Christians have done so in the past. Some less than Orthodox Christians do so today. Okay, but I know what you're thinking. The scripture seems specifically to point to more than one person being active in this notion that we think of as divinity. So wouldn't it be simpler to simply pick a pair? While formally dualistic pseudo-Christian traditions are rather rare these days, there are still some. And there are many other world traditions besides that work perfectly well on a two-God model. Why shouldn't we have one as well? Let's take God and the divine Son, Jesus. It's a good pair. St. John the Revelator likely thought that's what was going on. Or rather, let's just focus on Jesus and the empowering Spirit. That would be easy to grasp. Or if you prefer, and is popular in readings of the Proverbs like we had from today, think of God only and the divine cohort or consort, Lady Wisdom. Yes, none of these are Christianity per se. They would all be workable, though they would all also be derived from a too narrow reading of Scripture. The true faith is something different, isn't it? The true faith demands something extra. The true faith is defined or is based on there being three. As the Creed of St. Athanasius reminds us, the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. It is an unnecessarily complex system. It is the very definition of being extra. And while we may not totally understand it, we hold it to be true. And so, therefore, when it comes to God, being extra is the whole point. From the beginning that was in the beginning, as we understand it, God has been extra. And God has expressed the divine purpose over and over again by continuing to be extra. God, though complete in and of himself, creates a world, adds creatures, adds people, puts people into relationship with one another, comes to live among them, dies, is alive again, entrusts the good news of salvation to the very creatures whose inability to be in relationship has killed him in the first place, and then lavishly pours out sometimes ironic gifts on these envoys to help them further a project that he has already completed. That's extra. If being extra is so central to what it means to be God, then how much more should we, as those who bear the image and likeness of God, how much more should we be committed to the same authenticity, courage, and meaning-making of being extra ourselves? Some of you that were here last week may have heard me talk about some very simple ways that you can bring about growth in yourself and in those around you. Today I want to turn that on its head a bit by challenging to up your extra game. Can you think of some ways that you could increase your authenticity? Letting more of the image of the triune God shine through? Could you be more creative, more compassionate, more encouraging, more supportive? Could you work to foster deeper, more life-giving relationships modeled on the mutuality and love that God exhibits in his very Trinitarian being? How about courage? Could you endeavor to be more creative or more courageous? Like authenticity, this is not a requirement for life or salvation or anything, really. God can't ever love you more than he does right now. To paraphrase C.S. Lewis, though, courage, like friendship and art and philosophy, does not have salvation value, but it adds value to our salvation and to the salvation of others. So be extra courageous. Share what you have. Share what you know. Risk being in relationship with others. Risk loving, even if it might cost you everything. And be a meaning maker. In God's own extraordinary, extravagant, and unnecessary way, he has tipped his hand to us regarding the plan of salvation. And he has invited us to help spread the news. What would it look like if we brought even more people in on the joke? If we actively shared the way in which God, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, has helped us to understand our role in this? What would they say? Would they accuse us of being extra? Good. I hear extra is the whole point. Amen.